since we had New Year's Day on Christmas. I mean, that didn't make sense. New Year's Day on Sunday. I didn't get enough sleep. New Year's Day on Christmas would be a first. New Year's Day on Sunday is what I meant. And so, boy. Open mouth and sore foot. I've had the Peter syndrome now. John chapter number 15, look in verse number 5. The Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Thank you. You may be seated. Josh, would you pull the screen down for me? It's bad enough I misspoke. So, well, you know, as the year has drawn to a close, we look to this new year with hopefully anticipation, not dread. And we're going to look at the scriptures a little bit this morning. It's not going to be a marathon message. Not going to be a long, drawn out. I know you need your naps, and I know you've got a lot of plans today for the new year, but I do want to talk a little bit this morning about resolutions. And sometimes our resolutions, you know, we have resolutions, but we're reserved in our resolutions because we never fulfill them. By the first week, they're already broken. We have broken resolutions. And I'm reminded of a few things. There's a story at the beginning of a new year. A high school principal asked all the teachers to put their resolutions together, and they began to post them on a bulletin board outside the office in the hallway. And one teacher noticed that her resolution wasn't there. And sure enough, the principal found the resolutions misplaced on his desk, and her resolution was that she wouldn't get upset over the little things. And sometimes we get upset over the silliest things. And you know, this one, a son called his parents to wish them Happy New Year's. When his dad answered the phone, he asked, "Dad, what's your New Year's resolution?" Well, the dad replied, "To make your mother as happy as I can this year. And all year, not just this year." And so when mom got on the phone, he asked, "What's your New Year's resolution, Mom?" "To make sure Dad keeps his resolution." Then I came across one. Well, let's get through those. No announcements. Oh, it's all blank. Every one of them. Oh, oh, it was such a good show, too. Calvin and Hobbes, if you know Calvin and Hobbes, it's a little cartoon. And Calvin and Hobbes, they, well, I can't tell you without showing you. You know, there's all kinds of things. "God put me on this earth," is what his quote was, "to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die." That's what Calvin said. And so, you know, we kind of anticipate the new year. We kind of anticipate that this year will be just like last year, except it's a different number. But that's not the case. God has a plan for each one of our lives. And I want to give you some ideas of resolutions if you haven't already started your resolutions. The disciples, as they were faced with some things as Jesus had died, their day was gone. Their day was pretty much spent as far as their life was concerned. They weren't really anticipating a whole lot of things. Their dreams, their leader was gone. And so Jesus' instruction, Acts chapter number 2, talked about they were assembled in an upper room. Verse number 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit powerfully entered those preachers on that day to preach the gospel. And the important thing is that we continue to preach the same gospel that God has for us. We can't be negligent about the gospel. We can't be negligent about what God intended for his disciples to preach. Preaching is part of the job of the Christian. And it's not just my job. It's part of our job. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you're a preacher. You're a sermon in shoes. You're somebody that's supposed to be witnessing. If you're saved, if you're born again, you're to be a light broadcast to a dark world. And Jesus commanded the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He spoke of the same Holy Spirit that we have today in John chapter number 14, verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that complemented Jesus' ministry. It wasn't somebody that was separate from God in the sense that he has a job and God has a job, and so the two are separate and they never shall meet. No, the Holy Spirit was to comfort and to guide and to teach. We have the same Holy Spirit today that shall teach us all things as we walk by faith. That's why we're here today. We're not just fulfilling an obligation, hopefully, just putting in our time. Nothing better to do. No, this is what we're supposed to be doing, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We quote that so often, but this is a family meeting. This is a time to get together. This is a time to be challenged by God's word. This is a time to be encouraged by the reading of God's word and the singing of the word of God. Now, you say, well, we didn't sing God's word. Well, the songs were from biblical perspectives. John chapter number 15, verse number 5 is our text today. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, that's the kind of the key phrase today, without me you can do nothing. Without me, without Jesus, you can do nothing. Now with these thoughts in mind today, I want to look at first, you need to take time for God. We need to take time for God. As many of us, this is one of the first years I didn't stay up late enough to watch the ball drop. And I feel rested. I feel great today. And I know you have an ice pack on your head and you have your aspirin in your hand and you're ready to go to sleep. Well, some of you. But we need to remember, we need to take time for God. Every single day. Now, sometimes that may mean just 30 seconds or a minute. Sometimes we think we don't have all day for God. The whole day is the Lord's. Time is, God doesn't look at time the same way humans do. There's no time in God's eyes that he's always there. He's never absent from the presence of time. When we think of this, the course of each day, we need to figure out a creative way to spend time with God. Look at your day. You're given 24 hours every day. And, you know, when you think about spending time with God, you've got your calendars. I remember years ago I've got one of these, what do they call those binder calendars? One of those planners. I got a special one with my name on it. And every year I was ordering new pages. And the last year was empty. And the next year was empty. And I said, why am I spending money on empty pages? I can do this on my desk by myself. I didn't use the calendar the way it was intended, but it looked nice. And you know, when we spend time with God, the first part of our day, any part of our day really, the first part of that day needs to be spent with God. That's a resolution that we need to make. He'll brighten any corner in your day. You say, what do you mean? Well, when you read your Bible or pray or even sing songs, walk, journal. Brother Dan has talked about journaling when it comes to the Reformers Unanimous, and it changed his perspective on walking with the Lord. You know why? God brings things to your mind, and he begins to reveal things that don't glorify him. And for us to confess, we need to confess our sins to God and our faults one to another. The Bible says I'm deficient in some areas, but we need to confess our sins. He brings to our mind things that don't glorify him. Then as we read the Bible, God sometimes just takes one verse. You know, people have a Bible reading plan, and I think that's good to have. And I think you should start reading the Bible if you haven't started yet. But sometimes that one verse can last a whole week. God impresses upon you about something important that you've read. The important thing is that you do read. Not just for content's sake, I just got to get through these verses and read them as fast as you can, just like a child that's getting through the school material. No, no, no. Lord, show me what you want from your word today. Just a little bit. And so you start with a short amount of time. Exercise principles. If you've ever exercised, you spend an hour exercising in the beginning. Is that where you start? No. I got a gym membership, and I'm proud of my gym membership, but I don't go. But I have a membership. And I said, you know what? About a month ago, I said, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do my comfort level of exercising. And in 15 minutes, I was out the door. I didn't start with an hour program, just like those people that are in skinny clothes that are there. They've been doing it for a long time. They've been on the treadmills for a long time, and they've been working at it for a long time. They've built up their stamina. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. The same thing scripturally, spiritually. Ask God to reveal things to you to help you grow. Lord, help me. I can't do this by myself. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and says, here, this is what this means. I will guide you to all truth. Sometimes people will say, I don't understand the Bible. I can't understand it. So you know what they do? They put it aside. They never pick it up again. Well, as you build that relationship with God, you'll learn to listen to the still small voice, the voice of God, through the Holy Spirit's teaching. And He'll personally do some things in your life. He'll convict you. He'll guide you. He'll rebuke you. He'll teach you. He'll disciple you. He'll comfort you. He'll counsel you. And you know, when this happens, what happens to our relationship with God? It deepens. The more I get to know you, as I've been pastoring this church for how many years? 17? 25? A lot? 15 years this year. I get to know a little bit about your struggles personally. I get to know a little bit about your families. I get to know a little bit about things that are going on in your life. And I don't have a journal that I'm keeping track of all your deficiencies and things like that, just like God doesn't. But I keep those in my heart and I bring them to the Lord. There's things that I can't fix. There's things that only God can take care of in your life. As much as I want to fix things, I used to want to be a fix-it in anybody's life. I wanted to fix the problem. That's not my job. My job is to be an encouragement, is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Those are tough things to do with a crew like you. But you know what? God placed me here and made us part joint heirs with Jesus. If you're saved, we've got a common denominator, which is Jesus Christ. And we're going in the same direction. We build that relationship. The more I get to know, you know, the more you get, let me say, rephrase it. The more we get to know each other, sometimes we don't like to be around each other. Familiarity breeds contempt. I don't want to be around them. Well, that's not the way it should be. The closer I get to Him, draw nigh to me, and guess what? I'll draw nigh to you. The more I get to know Him, the more I think for God, and I say, He doesn't like me. Well, that's not even in the Bible. I love you with an everlasting love. I care about you. I care what's important, and I want what's best for my children. Did you know God cares about every part of who you are? And He wants what's best for you. Our relationships will deepen. They'll grow. Secondly, that I see, stay or become active in your local church, Blackstone Valley Baptist Church, in worship, in Bible study. I think it's wonderful to have the Bible on computer, on cell phones, and I think it's wonderful to have it on the tablet. But there's nothing like flipping the pages of a Bible. I love to hear, stand and turn with me, and I hear flip, 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 and everybody's on the same page. It's a little different when you're pushing the button. And I'm thinking, you're texting while I'm preaching. I saw a missionary doing that one time when I was preaching, and I was getting upset. What is he doing? Doesn't he know he's being a bad example to our young people? Well, he's looking on the Bible or doing his own study. And there's nothing like holding God's word in my hands to flip through and to find the pages. I don't have to trust in something that's fallible, if you will. It's perfect. It's complete. God's word for us. And so get involved with our local church worship and Bible study. Don't come just Sunday morning or once a month or once in a while and expect to grow. That's not how we fed our kids. We fed them all the time. Obviously, they grew. Your kids and you desired food as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Right? Don't you want to grow? I don't know. It's too early. Yeah, most of us desire, just like a child, every little child. Courtney, where is she? Is she in here? I'm going to embarrass her a little bit. Oh, she's watching Charlie. She's got a baby named Charlie. Well, I call every baby she has Charlie. She's a good little mom to Charlie. And she desires to be older than she actually is. And she acts older than she actually is. Sometimes. But what happens is sometimes we act immature. I made reference to our young people being immature. I didn't mean to insult their intelligence last week. I know some of them are more mature than their age. Some of them act older than they are. But they desire, just like we desire to be older than we are. Then when you're older, you want to go back a little bit. You don't want to be so old. It's not all it's cracked up to be sometimes. There's aches and pains, there's problems, there's bills, there's all kinds of things. And so when we are newborn babes, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. See, this year we want to grow. Not numerically. I'd like to grow numerically, but spiritually. We want to see our church flourish spiritually. Amen? Oh, me. Our Sunday school is important. We sing that little song, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Why is Sunday school important? Boy, that's the right arm of the church. Missions is the heartbeat of the church. I put it right back there to remind me. The lighthouse that shines the brightest at home shines the furthest. And I look and see the nail holes or the screw holes in the wall where the mission boards used to be, and my heart breaks because we're about missions. We're about helping people hear the gospel around the world. Missions is important. If we lose the purpose for which the church was planted, then we lose our purpose for being here. You say, missions? Yeah, faith promise, missions, helping local missionaries like the Barbosas, Warwick. He's doing a great job with the Portuguese people there, having a great time. And we're helping support that. We're helping do what God's called him to do. Get involved with the ministry here at Blackstone Valley Baptist Church. Maybe some new ministries need to be started. I don't know. We all got on board when we started the Reformers Unanimous. It was a gung-ho. Yes, Pastor, we're going to do it. We raised the money to do it. And then after 4 or 5 years, it's kind of gone by the wayside. It's not as important anymore. Now, that happened with the bus ministry. It happens with different ministries. And sometimes we lose our zeal for the Lord. We lose our vision for what God could do. But that's not the end. See, we have a burden to reach the addicted, the lost in our community. We still have the same convictions and still have that same desire. And it is actually you that miss out by not risking getting involved. You ever meet somebody that doesn't want to get involved with somebody else because, oh, I might get hurt? Well, if that was the case, I wouldn't have any relationships. In fact, we know of of people that don't get involved with the church members because it's your problem, not mine. No, it's our problem. We're in this together. We want to grow what God can. We want to exercise faith in our life. Then there's another resolution. Become a regular tither this year. There are a few times in the Bible that God dares you to test him. Test him, prove him. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Boy, that's a blessing and a promise. If you think about it, I've seen God do amazing things with people that put him first in their finances. People sell a house. People have all kinds of things. They sell a car and they tithe to the Lord. You say, well, that's my money. Think that way, and guess what? God will withhold his blessing. You say, well, I've never heard that before. You haven't been to church enough, because this is what we teach and preach here. Tithing is, well, I'm not going to say it's just a maintenance fee on a good life, because it's more than that. It's a promise. If you put God first, he says, I'm going to open you the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. It may not always be what we think in our finances. If you put God first in your finances, in your property, in everything that you have, in your relationship, God will bless in ways that you don't even know. I've seen him do it. People can testify. God's saying, try me. I'll prove it to you. Beginning this new year, look at that first paycheck that God gives you. The first fruits of that paycheck belong to him. It all belongs to him, not just 10%. Trusting that God will provide if we are obedient. The hardest part is we, like the children of Israel of old, we're rebellious. That doesn't apply to me. Most of God's word does not apply to me, so I don't have to obey it. Yeah, neither do the promises. You want to ignore God's blessings? You want to ignore the promises of God? You say, well, I'm not ignoring. I'm just ignoring selective obedience. You ever have children that do that? I'm going to obey the rules I want to? I had college students that did that. That doesn't apply to me. That's not really for me. Yeah, it applies. And so all of God's word is for me. So trusting God with our finances, it's all his anyway. God could demand 100%, but he only asked for 10. That's tough. By not obeying and not tithing, we're disobeying God, and we're sinning against the very God that we love. Old Testament principle. If you withheld your tithe, there was a surcharge on top of your tithe. You had to pay on top of it 25% or something like that, 20%. Oh, we're not living in the Old Testament, Pastor. I'll figure out a way to obey. Isn't that the way we do? We finagle what we want in life. We figure out a way to purchase a new car, a new house, a new bling bling, new something. We figure out a way, don't we? Now, don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. We know that we can get something if we just put our finances in just the right way. Wait a minute, did we pray about it? Did we pray that God would be blessed by what I'm about to invest in? Another resolution, as I move on, I know it's getting quiet, is simply to put an undesirable habit, addiction, or sin in the hands of God. You say, well, that's where we should have started. That's where most people start. I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to change a habit in my life. Wait a minute. If we don't get the others right, then this one won't even fall into place. Anything that does not bring God glory in my life, I want to put in his hands. Lord, I don't want to bring shame to you. I don't want to do something that would cause you to have a spiritual black eye. Not that we could give God a black eye. Hidden pains or sins and difficulties that we have, it's time to break that cycle. Did you know you can't change by yourself? You try, and you can't change by yourself. Nobody can. But with God, all things are possible. How is it possible? Because we're placing it in His hands. God, I can't do this. 364 more days to go. We need Him every day. There's never a time where I don't need God. I'm never in a place where, God, I got this one. Because when I get there, He'll let me. And He'll say, okay, let's see how you do on this one. That's the kind of God we serve. He backs off. And sometimes we make a worse mess of things when we try to do it in our own strength. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So that building the relationship, a personal relationship with Christ, is to let God begin to cause us to hunger for change and thirst for righteousness. I can't change you. Your parents can't change you. Your spouse can't change you. Only God can. Remember, as we draw closer to God, He draws closer to us. Drawing close, part of it is going to church. It's not just coming to church. Coming to church is an indication of the heart. You invest your time, your effort, your energy, your resources into what you like. People have collector cars. They have these show cars. Guy down the street has one that's worth $60,000. Sitting in his garage. He drives it maybe once in a great while. Beautiful car. He invests a lot of time and energy into that vehicle. I know I work with another guy that has a really nice car. He invests his time, his money, his resources into that. Hey, don't you want something that lasts a lifetime? Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And that's what we want to do this year, is invest into things that are eternal. If we don't, it's all wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. And so this new year, that it came quick this year. Make it a year where you place it in the ever-capable hands of God Himself. I'm going to close with a poem. And then I'm going to ask Miss Andrews to play in just a minute. I'm not going to sing a song this invitation. But as God deals with our heart this year, don't push it off. Don't become calloused to the message. Don't become calloused to the Holy Spirit's leading. We want to lift the Lord up in every aspect of our lives, our attitudes. The new year, I am the new year. I'm an unspoiled page in the book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me. Waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claim but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, "Behold, I make all things new." This is a new year that God has given us. Every day is a day that we live for Him. We didn't have to brave too much black ice this morning. There was a couple of accidents. Took the kids to the airport. Well, she did. I stayed here and studied a little bit and got ready for the service today and got my heart and head in tune with God and in tune with what His will was. But you know, there's no coincidence. No accidents in God's timetable. No circumstance that is beyond His control. No event in history is out of God's touch. Today's one of those days. We can start it right. You say, we've already started it a few hours ago. Or we can just say, well, it really doesn't matter. It does matter. Steps of faith are very important. When we exercise our steps of faith, when we begin to show others, isn't that what we're to do, is let our light shine? Hey, listen, Come and show us. Come to church and sit in the lighthouse with us and listen to what God's word has to say to us. Prove me, saith the Lord. Well, I don't know about tithing. I think that's an Old Testament principle. Well, prove it. Just prove it. I know one gentleman years ago that was in this church that it was actually missions. It wasn't on tithing, and he never gave to missions before in his life, so he began a small amount and began to give by faith, and that's what Faith Promise Missions is. His boss came to him that week that he started giving to missions and said, listen, I know you have all the money in the world. You really don't need any more money, so we're going to put, get this, $50,000 in your retirement. Oh, that's coincidence. Oh, you think our God operates on coincidence? My God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. All we have to do is take steps of faith. Lord, I'm taking a step of faith. I want to exercise my faith muscle, but it's going to be a long year. No, it's going to be a great year. It has to do with your perspective. So I close with John 15:5, the last part of the phrase. He says, the beginning, I am the vine. Last part of the phrase says, for without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do apart from God in your life. Let's stand with our heads bowed as Miss Joan plays something. Invitations are for God to work in the heart of people. As you've heard the message, and the message is clear. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's the most important thing, is knowing Jesus as your Savior. I can't save you. The church cannot save you. But Jesus can save you. And if you don't know for sure what it means to be a Christian, boy, the greatest joy that we could have is showing someone else what it means to be saved. It's not my words. It's His word. Determine to make this year the greatest year of your walk with the Lord. It's not going to happen by chance. I think, as I think about those that determined in their heart, again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As a pastor, I don't want to be wishy-washy. I don't want to be half-hearted. I want to do things the way God wants us to. I want to encourage the church to rise up and go forward. The Lord said, I will build my church. But you know what He's doing? He's using us to do it. As we think about this day, we have to remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Nothing happens by chance, circumstance. God is not the author of confusion. These are all principles that we know, we preach, we teach, we believe. But do we act upon what we know? Prove me. Test me. Trust in my guidance. The Bible says, take no thought for your life. It's just a vapor. Appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. So why not live for Him today? And pretend every day is this is the day Jesus has made. Pretend, or not pretend, but live as if God's in control, because He really is. I think it'll change your perspective, especially about your church, about your family, about your friends, about your life. If I can in any way help you, I don't want to just say, God bless you, brother. Be filled and be warmed, as the Bible says. Go on your way and nothing's done. If there's anything within my power, I will help you. If you have questions, I will answer them at the best of my ability. I want to be used by God in this place. And I want our church to continue to grow and flourish spiritually. But it's not going to happen by chance. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because we determine in our heart to put God first in every aspect of our life so that He's lifted up and we're not. It'll change the way you do things if you put Him first. Brother Justin, why don't you come up here and dismiss us in a word of prayer? There's no evening service tonight, but that doesn't negate our responsibility of putting Him first all the time. As you spend time with your family and friends, remember to thank God for this day, another day to serve Him, and help us to reflect godliness in every transaction, every opportunity that He presents to us. I appreciate you coming out on this New Year's Day, and I hope you have a happy New Year's.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for what you've done, and we ask that you would continue to bless us throughout this new year. Help us to follow the path you put in front of us and help us to stay close to you in all things. We thank you for this message that we heard. Help us to apply these principles to our life and go out of here changed individuals. God, help us to be contemplative about it and to think about it, to meditate on it, and to put it in our heart. And God, we ask that this year we would draw closer to you. Help us all to continue to remain faithful and steadfast in your word. And God, we ask for your blessing, not only today, but throughout the year. In Jesus' name, amen.